Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. At this time, we would like to welcome everyone to Raia Drogasil conference call to discuss its third quarter of 2014 results. The audio for this conference is being broadcast simultaneously through the internet in the website www.raiadrogasil.com.br/ir. In that address, you can also find the slideshow presentation available for download. We inform that all participants will be only able to listen to the conference during the company's presentation. After the company's remarks are over, there will be a Q&A period. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this conference, please press star zero for an operator. Before proceeding, let me mention the forward-looking statements are being made under the safe harbor of the Securities Litigation Reform Act from 1996. Forward-looking statements are based on the beliefs and assumptions of Raia Drogasil management and on information currently available to the company. Forward-looking statements are not guarantees of performance. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions because they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of Raia Drogasil and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Today with us are Mr. Marcílio Pousada, CEO, Mr. Eugênio de Zagottis, Investor Relations and Corporate Planning Vice President, and Gabriel Rosenberg, IR and Corporate Planning Director. Now, I'll turn the conference over to Mr. Marcílio Pousada. Sir, you may begin your conference.
Okay, thank you. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Raia Drogasil results presentation for the third quarter of 2014. As always, Eugênio presents the highlights of the quarter, and just before the Q&A, I would like to stress a few points about the operations. Eugênio, please.
Hello, everyone. First of all, thank you for attending this conference call. We are very happy to present these outstanding results, really, of the third quarter of 2014, especially after such a pair of very challenging years in which we were focused on our integration. This was a quarter in which all the elements really worked in favor for us. I think we had strong sales, margins, expenses, and cash flows. We reached 2 billion in quarterly revenues, 18.3% of growth, and for same-store sales, we're talking about 10.9% growth. Our gross margin increased by 0.7 percentage points and reached 27.5%. We also showed both sales and administrative expenses dilution during the quarter. This led to an EBITDA of 139.9 million reais, a margin of 7.0%, and an increase of 54.1% versus last year. Also, the adjusted net income exceeded 80 million reais, representing a net margin of 4% and an increase of 89% versus the third quarter of 2013. For those who care about reported net income without the adjustments, our reported net income reached 3.4%, and we're talking a 2.7 times increase in absolute values over last year. Finally, we presented in the quarter both free cash flows and total cash flows that were positive. On page four, I'd like to discuss our store development program. We ended the quarter with 1,045 stores. We opened 33 stores in the quarter and closed three stores. Year to date, we had already opened by the end of the quarter a total of 80 stores, and we are fully on track to meet a guidance of 130 stores for this year. We have our full pipeline of stores already signed for several months, and we are working full speed in building a pipeline for next year. We're very happy with the speed and quality of stores that we have both opened this year and that we have already collected for next year's opening. Looking at our store portfolio, 67% of our total stores are mature, and 32.7% are still under maturation. On page 5, I would like to discuss our geographic footprint. We now have, as I mentioned, 1,045 stores, of which exactly 500 stores are Droga Raia stores and 545 stores are Droga Azul stores. I think the highlight of the year has been the increase of operations in the northeast region of Brazil. Until the year finishes, we will have opened or we have entered in a total of 5 new states this year alone. In the second quarter, we entered in the state of Pernambuco, one of the biggest and highest potential markets in the region, in which we have 5 open stores and many more to be opened. Well, in the third quarter, we entered in the states of Sergipe and Alagoas, smaller but interesting states where we have 3 stores, and we'll have a couple more still this year. And finally, in the fourth quarter, we are entering in two new states, Pernambuco. We opened our first 2 stores in Pernambuco 2 days ago, so in Paraíba, in the city of João Pessoa. We opened 2 days ago last Wednesday, and before the year ends, we opened several stores in Rio Grande do Norte, another state that is not that big, but it's a very interesting market, and we're very excited about the opportunity in the Northeast. So I think we will end this year with a huge advancement in terms of occupying this market, but there's still so much to do in terms of store development for the next years in the Northeast, but also in the other regions of Brazil. Let's not forget that we keep adding a lot of stores and successfully so in São Paulo, Rio de Janeiro. We have now a big focus in Rio Grande do Sul, on Paraná, and many other new markets. So we're very happy with the quality of our expansion. We have opened this year some of the best stores I have ever seen since I have joined Droga Raia in early 2000. So we're very enthusiastic about what this high-quality growth can provide for the company. Talking about market shares, we reached a comparable national market share of 9.3%. We increased 0.4 percentage points versus last year. This increase happened in every market where we compete. So in São Paulo, total market shares increased by 110 basis points. Let's forget that last year we had a more challenging situation, especially with one of our brands. But this year we have both brands performing really well, and we have recovered all the ground we had lost and some more. In the remaining of the Southeast region, we have also gained 10 basis points of share. In the Midwest, 90 basis points. In the South, 60 basis points. And the Northeast, 50 basis points. On page 6, I'd like to discuss our revenue performance in the quarter. Total revenues grew 18.3% in the quarter. I think this is a very robust number. This was driven by same-store sales of 10.9% and mature store sales growth of 6.1%, a very good level. We had a positive calendar effect in the quarter of 0.7%, but this was fully offset by the World Cup effect in July, which on the overall quarter impacted negatively also by 0.7%. So the 6.1 is exactly what it represents. On page 7, we don't have much to talk about mix this quarter. Our mix was almost fully flat when we compared to last year. The only difference, and it's a good one, is that generics grew 10 basis points at the expense of branded pharmaceuticals, which contracted 10 basis points as a percentage of total mix. OTC and HPC remained exactly constant over last year. So it was almost an eventless quarter mix-wise. And on page 8, I'd like to talk about gross margins. That was without any doubts, one of the highlights of the quarter. We reached a gross margin level of 27.5%, a 0.7 percentage point increase. Let's not forget that 40 basis points of that increase is due to a change in tax regime. So last year, our results were negatively affected by 40 basis points, As we know, as we opted in again for the tax substitution regime, we completely reverted the loss. So 40 basis points is very clear where it came from. But then we have another 30 basis points that are due to performance. They're really productivity gains by the company. And we're talking purchasing gains. We're buying better every day from our suppliers. And we're also talking about prices. Every quarter, we do tactical price adjustments. The market that we have to defend better. Sometimes we have to reduce prices. There are other markets that situation is improving, then we can increase margins. So this is a very mobile situation, market by market. But on an aggregated way, it's obviously net positive. And together with purchasing improvements, it totaled 30 basis points. In terms of cash cycle, we had a slightly better cash cycle versus last year, 1.3 days. But let's not forget that our return to the tax substitution regime has cost us 4.5 days in cash cycle because we had to collect taxes on inventories. So when you look at inventories, we have 10.2 days of inventories above last year. 4.5 is the cost of getting back to the tax substitution regime that reverted our margin loss. So it costs working capital, but the economic effect is positive. And 5.7 is really an increase because we had a very low level of inventory last year. What happened is that we were draining generics, so we had a very low level of total inventories, but this was compensated by the fact that as we were not purchasing generics and as we were not generating new invoices, days of accounts payable fell drastically last year. So we have now a normalized level of accounts payable, so that's a significant improvement over last year. But all in all, despite the cost of getting back to the tax substitution regime, we still reduced cash cycle by 1.3 days. On page 9, let's talk about sales expenses. And I think this is probably the most surprising line and one of the most important to fully understand where we are and where we go from here. We had an improvement, a dilution of 0.6 percentage points versus last year. The 20 basis points of gain was due to a lower store headcount. And of course that did help short-term numbers, but this is not necessarily good. We operated with staff levels slightly below what we consider ideal. This didn't harm our sales in the quarter, but when we look long-term, and that's our sole focus, we are better off with a better level and with higher service to our customers. So this 20 basis points dilution is not likely to be repeated in the next quarters. But of course, it was a welcome addition to the quarter's profitability. Then we have a 20 basis points improvement in social charges. That is not related here, but it's related to the comp base of the third quarter of last year. And this is the fact that as we lost the reduction in social charges that we benefited 2 months from, we had to recompose our allowance for social charges. So these had cost us back then 20 basis points. So on the comparison now, we have a normal level, so we have a 20 basis points improvement on that regard. And I think the most important line here is 30 basis points gain from lower pressure from new stores. And this is great news. I mean, what's happening is that the quality of the new stores we have opened is great. The initial results pressure that we used to suffer when we are entering markets that were more challenging has reduced significantly. Our growth in the Northeast is very healthy, both from the revenue and from the profitability standpoint. So we are seeing quick maturation. We're seeing very good initial levels of revenues. So last year we had a pressure from new store openings of 50 basis points. We now have 20 basis points. There's a small portion of this that's due to the fact that we have opened 10 stores less than we had opened at the same stage last year. But I think this is not that meaningful. In the end, I think the improvement is from the fact that our store development program is much better and more healthy from day one than what we were doing before. So it's great news. We'll see what we can do next year. It's still unclear if we can sustain this 30 basis points improvement, but certainly the number will be very different still from what it was last year. So there is an ongoing productivity gain here. In terms of general administrative expenses, we had a 30 basis points dilution in the quarter. 10 basis points come from normal productivity gains, normal dilution, especially on personnel, on corporate personnel. However, 20 basis points are due to a very specific effect. Due to a lack of clarity in terms of a criteria for provisioning our restricted share incentive program, in the end, we over-provisioned in the first semester of our variable compensations. So we have a reduction this quarter of 20 basis points to normalize our provisions, and very likely we will have another 20 basis points in the fourth quarter. So, of course, this is an improvement that it will be not perpetuated, but we cannot talk about a one-timer because it's a number that belongs to this year. When you look at the overall year, we will have the number that is fair to have. But we penalize ourselves too much in the first semester, and now we have to compensate for that in the second semester. So it's a 20 base point effect in the third quarter, and very likely another 20 base point effect in the fourth quarter. But then when you go forward, this effect will vanish. And with all of that, we had an adjusted EBITDA margin increase of 1.6 percentage points. We came from 5.4 to 7. And again, 70 basis points were obtained in gross margins, 60 basis points in sales expenses, and 30 basis points in G&A. So it was a great third quarter, and we also expect to see a great fourth quarter. Another thing that is important to mention is that year to date, we have an EBITDA margin of 6.4%. Depending on what we do in the fourth quarter, this number may or not reach 6.5% for the overall year. And to be very frank, I think 6.4 or 6.5 translate in a much more realistic way, I think, the current level of profitability of the company. The 7% is a great number in the quarter. When you have surprises, it's much better that they happen in the upside. But I think there are personal gains. And then there is the provisioning of variable compensation that they should not last for next year. So I think we are now at 6.5, 6.4. And we will see, and we still have to understand how fast this can go forward. We are still working on our budgetary process. We still don't have a magic number for next year, and as we get a better perspective of where we go, we'll try to communicate that to the market. But let's not forget that we had last year 5.5% of EBITDA. We expected this year 5.8 to 6%. We achieved in the first semester 6.1, and as of now we have achieved for year to date 6.4 and may go to 6.5. So regardless of if the trend is 7 or 6.5, it's a great year, and we are in a much, much, much better place than when we were last year. Now digging below the EBITDA line, the depreciation remained constant at 2.4%. We had a net financial expense relief of 10 basis points due to the fact that that as a percentage of revenues has gone down, and taxes accrued increased by 20 basis points because of the better operating performance. So if we talk about 1.6% EBITDA improvement in the quarter, we're talking about 1.5% net income, net margin improvement, and that's page 13. Our adjusted net margin came from 2.5 to 4. In terms of absolute numbers, we increased from 42.6 million to 80.5 million reais. We're talking about an 89% adjusted EBITDA increase. And for those who like reported EBITDAs, for those who don't like adjustments, that's not our case. We think adjustments, when they exist, they have to be reported that way, and that happens analyzing and understanding the trends. But we, if we disregard all the adjustments, if you look at reported net margins, still we're talking a 3.4% reported net margin a quarter, and we're talking a margin absolute number that it's 2.7 times bigger than the one we saw last year. But for me, this is almost a fantasy number. And this happens just for the fact that we had a very high level of non-recurring expenses that were really non-recurring, as the current numbers now state. And now we still have some, but we have a much lower level. And next year, our expectation is to be, is to have zero or very close to zero in terms of adjustments. Finally, let's talk about cash flows on page 14. We had on the quarter positive free cash flow generation. We had a positive total cash flow generation. However, both figures, if you compare to last year's in the same quarter, they're slightly behind. And that's very easy to understand why. At this very same point last year, we were recovering tax credits. So there was a big help on the cash cycle side from tax credits that had been accumulated against the sale of São Paulo. Now, as we got back to the tax substitution regime, we're doing exactly the opposite. We're paying back to the state some of the taxes recovered. Of course, as we had 100 million that were recovered in this case, but part of the interest, part of the taxes on inventories that we recovered last year, we're giving back this year. So this is an 80 million difference in the end, and this more than fully explains this difference. Another point to look here is that when you look year to date, both free cash flows and total cash flows, they're negative. And that's a very simple explanation. December is always the most favorable quarter in terms of cash cycle seasonality. So any month compared to December will be negative. When we conclude this year, our expectation is that we will have posted for the second year in a row a positive free cash flow generation. So this means that we are self-sustained, that our investment program that is very ambitious is being fully financed by our stores, by our existing performance. And then on page 15, considering our share price of 20.9, it's below today's share price that we had at the end of the quarter, and comparing to the share price of the Drogasil IPO in June 2007, so we're talking exactly 7 years, the Ibovespa has remained flat, and we have almost quadrupled our share price in the same period. So if you talk about we're talking about an average return, not considering dividends, interest on capital, and so on, of 19.9% per year for those who invested in Drogasil IPO in 2007, 7 years ago. And for those who invested in the Rai IPO nearly 4 years ago, the average return so far has been 20.1%, not considering interest on capital paid. And the interesting thing is that our share price has always been considered expensive. Our multiples have always been deemed high by most sell-side analysts for all this period. And yet, when you look, the value creation has been superb. And we think, I don't know if it's the same number, of course, but I have no doubts that looking that going forward, this company and this industry has an amazing capacity of sustainably creating value and delivering high returns for the long term. So I conclude my part with this, and I'll pass to Marcelo for his considerations before we go to Q&A. Thank you.
Okay, I just go to stress some point that we have a very, very good quarter and important to talk with you about why I think it's good in this quarter, okay? We had a strong revenue growth, and this shows how defensive Smart is it. More importantly, this is the result of improvement and orders in cushion. This is very important. The cushion is the name for this business, okay? Like, we should have good examples for you. We had the lowest stock out level of the last 12 months.
We improved our store headcount and reduced our employee turnover, improving both our productivity and the service we provide to our customers. This is very, very important. Look every day for the how you can improve the service for the customers. About the gross margin, we increased in 0.7 percentage points versus 2013. This is a result of the tech normalization and the offer investments in category management, which generates improvements in pricing and your product mix, especially in Drogasil, where store renovation and smart and more analytical process for mix layout and merchandising decisions generate significant revenues and margin growth in the front stores. Corporate expenses continue to show a good dilution also. We have focused a lot in the cost reduction program that we implemented last year. An integration of our systems and process also improved our productivity. Sell expenses also showed the dilution, which will disappear in the next quarters, mainly because we have improved our engineering process and because our store headcount is normalizing, which are great for the medium and long term. This is a business that needs people, and hire people and train people in the store is very, very important. Then I think it's much better for us to keep the people in the stores to serve the customer than to skip to do that, okay? As a result, we achieved a bit of a margin of 7%, which is a very, very good increase in of 54% versus 2013. This result is very great. The logic of that everyone is asking if we can sustain or expand this margin in the coming quarters. My answer to you is that our focus will continue to be in sustaining our organic growth while maintaining the same stock quality and returns we currently enjoy, and execute all the process in the best way possible with a strong focus on gain productivity as well as in serving our customer in the best way possible. Our team is 100% focused on the long term. We believe it will continue to create competitive advantage for the company that will translate into improving margins year after year. We are now open for the questions and thank you very much.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone in order to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, please press the pound key. Mr. Joseph Giordano from JP Morgan would like to make a question.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Good morning, Eugenio, Marcelo, and Gabriel. First of all, congratulations on the results. My question is on the potential acceleration of the expansion plan that Eugenio mentioned during the call. I would like to understand what are you doing internally to support further acceleration, given that, like, sometimes you have a significant number of store openings, particularly in the end of the year. And on top of that, I'd like to understand if you are planning to do any small acquisitions like you did in the past, so basically points of sales in a certain region so that you gain like a good footprint in a faster way. Thank you.
Joseph, thanks for the questions. The first thing here is that in terms of store openings this year, last year we opened at this stage 10 stores more than we have opened now. But let's remember that we had a small acquisition last year that allowed us to open 25 stores just because of the acquisition the first quarter. So while this year we're talking about a fully organic program. If you look back 2 years ago when we were talking about the incorporation of Raya by Drogasil, we were significantly behind where we are now, and we still delivered our target in the end of the year with a big number of openings in November, December. This year will not be different. I think most of the years have been like this, so we're fully confident that we can open the 130 stores. Almost all those stores are already built. We're talking about obtaining those licenses. Obviously, I mean, last year we expected to open 130. We opened 131. We got one more license than we expected. Is it possible that we open 128, 129? It is, just as it possible that we open 131 or 132. So, of course, there is a certain level of variation that is not material that can always happen. But substantially, you will not see a total of openings very different on the up or down side from 130 stores. Can you repeat your second question? I missed it. Sorry.
Acquisition. It was related like small acquisitions like you did in the past. So as you mentioned, on Santa Marta, for example, are you planning to do any of those like going forward?
We always look at everything that is presented to us. I mean, of course, there are a lot of companies trying to sell, but the reality is that the kind of acquisition we have done a couple times in the past, it's a very specific thing. I mean, we're talking about, Santa Marta is a good example. It was a chain that was in Chapter 11, and they had to sell some stores to recapitalize the company. So we had the privilege of getting a chain that was the one-time leader in Goiás, so they had a lot of great stores, and we could cherry-pick which stores we wanted and which stores we did not want. So when you can do that, it's great, because you only get the good stores. But most chains are being offered around. The average quality of stores is poor. You're generally unable to get only the good and leave the bad behind. And we're mostly talking about company acquisitions and not asset acquisitions. And a company acquisition requires an integration that is not interesting, that takes a lot of attention outside of the core business. So you can make some money on a small business, but you can lose big money sometimes on the 1,000 stores that we have to manage. So I cannot say small acquisitions are out of question. I mean, they can happen. We are always looking, but they are not necessarily probable.
Okay, if I may, one extra question on the M&A front, Azarine. There have been lots of rumors recently regarding foreigners' activity in the country. So if you can comment a little bit, what are you seeing from your perspective as an insider in the industry, it would be great for us. Thank you.
Absolutely. I mean, the global players are looking very attentively at Brazil. This is not a rumor. This is a reality. Chivas has already a small operation in Brazil. Walgreens and Boots have been looking at Brazil almost forever. And my view is it's just a matter of time before you have both those companies well positioned inside the country. Our view is that this is not a global industry. I think retailing in general is not global. Drugstore retailing is even less so. The formats are regional, regulation is regional, the brands are regional, and even the supply chain is regional. We have seen these huge conglomerates being formed, and successfully so, to source generics in India or China of a huge scale and bring them into US and Europe. But in the case of Brazil, you have regulatory barriers that make that impossible. To build a portfolio of generics in Brazil from scratch may take 10 years, may be very expensive, and may be undoable, because you have to have a local manufacturing company, you have to do a local bioequivalent study on the local version of the molecule. You have a huge regulatory bureaucracy to overcome. So in the end, the supply chain is also local. I think a global player in Brazil will be as good or as bad as the asset they buy. My view is they are smart people, they will buy good assets, and they will be a contender in this market. This is a huge market. This is one of the fastest growing markets in the world. This is a westernized market. We have good rule of law. And we have patent laws and so on. But I think in the end, the dispute is not about global scale. It's about the local scale. And it's about the quality of the assets, the quality of the stores. It's about brand recognition. And it's about the quality of the management. And I think we respect a lot those global players. I think they can have a role in the market. I think they can make money in Brazil, but I don't see that as a disruption. I think our performance and our future depend on our execution, and I think we're doing our job.
All right. Thank you very much, Eugenio.
Thanks.
As a reminder, as to ask a question, please press star 1. This will be. It appears to be no further questions. Now I'll turn the conference back to the company for the final remarks.
Well, first of all, thanks for all of you for attending this call, for trusting our execution in the bad and now in the good times. I want to get back in time for a couple of years, I think to backtrack and kind of summarize where we came from, where we are, and where we think we're going. We completed our merger in the end of 2011. Next Monday, it's the third anniversary of our merger. 2012 and 2013 were years with huge expectations, but they proved to be disappointing years for us. We had a massive IT integration to perform. We dealt with cultural challenges, changes, and huge distractions that in very many instances took our eyes off the ball. However, we entered 2014 in a very different situation. Already in the beginning of the year, in February, we were able to conclude the full integration of our corporate IT platform. We also entered this year with a renewed management team. Let's not forget that of the top 8 executives in the company, the CEO and the 7 vice presidents, 3 came from Raya, myself included, 2 came from Drogasil, and 3 came from outside the company. Marcílio joined us last July and has already changed dramatically the company. Renato Raduan, responsible for the Raya operation, he joined us a couple months before Marcílio. He has made a huge turnaround at Droga Raya. And the most recent member of our team, Susana, our human resources director, she has just joined us, and she has a very simple challenge of revolutionizing the way we hire people, we retain people, we motivate people, we train people, we develop people to improve operations. We entered this year already with a new culture, a new management compensation models, and I can tell you without without being afraid to an overstatement that I think 2014 is really the year one of this new company. And the vision that drove the merger of Raya Drogasil was combining assets that we thought and competencies that we thought and still think are unique in Brazil, in our industry, and share those assets and competencies across all our brands. Our merger was not drove or engineered because of hard synergies. Until the very moment we signed, we were competitors. We didn't have explicit targets for cost cutting, for margin increase. Of course, those are important things. Those are welcome things. But what drove Raya and Drogasil together was exactly a vision of the soft synergies. What drove us together was the ability of improving dramatically our standard of execution and executing at an unparalleled level in the Brazilian market. This means working differently with new tools, more intelligence deployed in the business, more management discipline. In the end, this means servicing better our consumers. This takes time to happen, and this is very hard to measure, but this is really transformative stuff. 2014 is the first year in which this vision is materializing. And regardless of the short-term trends in terms of our results, there is a lot more yet to come. I sincerely believe the best is ahead of us. The soft synergies we're talking about, they are really just beginning. We have at least one more year to level the standard of operation at both brands under the current best existing standard we can offer. So it's true especially for Drogasil. We will have a new front store system in Drogasil. We have CRM offers at Drogasil. There's a lot of things that we still have to do, and this will take next year, to bring both brands to the best standard we know that we have to offer to our operation. But the great news here is that we are already working on the agenda for the coming years. We are already working for the things that will yield the next leap forward for the company. We are acquiring and deploying competencies and platforms, and we'll be working on innovation looking at 2016, 17, 18, and 19. And I think here we can build a new edge. I think we can bring this company to a new level. So this is not future. We're already working on several of those things. And then with this provocation, I really want to stress the invitation that we recently sent for the Hydro Gazoo Day that will take place November 28th in São Paulo, when the full management team will be there to present with simultaneous translation to English. Presentation will be in Portuguese, but we'll have simultaneous translation. And we will exactly present several elements of this new future growth, future value creation agenda. We sent a save the date a couple weeks ago. Probably next week we'll send an official invitation with a timetable for the event. And we'll be honored if you can attend. I think it will be very interesting. I think you can get a different sense on so many things you can still do to bring this company forward and to build our future. So thank you for attending our conference. And again, thanks for the renewed trust in the company. Thanks for being a shareholder during the bad times and now during the good times as well.
Thank you. Hydro Gazoo's conference call is finished. You may disconnect your lines now. Have a nice day.